Tonight, the secret place of God's peace. The secret place of God's peace. Look at somebody and whisper that to them. The secret place of God's peace. You know, today, people are so stressed out everywhere you go. It seems that people are stressed out. Anywhere you go out in society, anything you look at in the news, it just seems that there is just a stress level that has people just in a frenzied chaos. Life appears to be many times full of chaos and confusion. But how many of you know our God, he's not the author of chaos and he's not the author of confusion. And chaos and confusion are cheap counterfeits for something that Jesus has bought us through our redemptive realities, and that's the peace of God. You know, people are finding it today hard to function. Even in the church, many times people are finding it hard to function throughout the day. There's so much stress and tempers seem to be short everywhere you go. Just go out there and get in traffic and cut somebody off and see how short somebody's temper is. Years ago, you might could cut somebody off and they might wave at you and smile. You try that out there today. They may be waving, but it won't be what you were expecting. Road rage everywhere. In the news last week, I think in Florida, two guys got into it on the road. One cut the other one off, and they were going back and forth, just tempers flaring. And they both wound up calling 911 from their private automobiles. The 911 operator told them, don't engage, let the other person go, but they didn't. One person followed the other person home and shot him in front of his wife and kids. People are stressed out today. People are having panic and anxiety attacks and road rage, and stress is coming from financial trouble, and people aren't sure how to handle that, or sometimes people know and forget. People are stressed out over relationships today, and many are finding it hard to even get a good night's sleep. But my Bible said in Psalms 4, I will both lay you down and sleep in peace, for thou alone, O Lord, makes me to dwell in safety. People are finding challenges in their bodies that are stressing them out. Now today, people are trying to drink their way out of trouble. Drinking and drugs not going to solve. Problems not going to give you a moment of peace. These problems take their toll on mind, body, and spirit. Stress and worry are even breaking down people's immune systems and hindering people's their own body's ability to fight off disease. And so we're at a breaking point from stress and worry and fear and anxiety in many places. But I want you to know this tonight, that there is a place available to every believer of Jesus Christ. There's a place available to you and I away from the hustle and the bustle of this life. There is a place that's free from worry, free from fear. There is a place where worry and fear cannot enter in. There is a place that Satan has been denied access. There is a place in God that he has created for his children to enjoy. There is a place, a holy place where there's no stress, no worry, no fear, no anxiety. No matter how big the worry, no matter how big the problem, no matter how big your trouble or stress, there's just peace and rest in that place I'm speaking of. What is this place? Where is this place? It's God's secret place. God's secret place of peace. Go with me now to the book of Psalms. First, Psalm 31 and verse 20. Psalm 31 and verse 20. Occasionally tonight, as I quote scripture, I may quote it. It may come out a little different on the screen. One of the versions we're using here, they don't have up there. So I told them just to use the next available one, which is fine. So if it sounds a little different than I quoted, no worries. But you have your Bible. Psalm 31, verse 20. Here we go. The Bible says, you hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. I like that. I said, God's got a secret place. It's free of worry and fear tonight. Psalm 32, verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7. 7 and 8 is where we're going. I think 7 is the one we want. But Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place from every storm of life. You even keep me from getting into trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Yeah, the Living Bible, they don't have the Living Bible up there. I think that's the one they don't have, but that starts out, you are my hiding place. David said, from every storm of life. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I just know that in prayer, we just felt impressed to go this direction. And so we know God's trying to get a message to you. He's trying to get something across to you. Look at somebody and say, God's trying to talk to you. Over in Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91 and verse 1. New American Standard. Psalm 91 and verse 1. Say, what you talking about? I'm saying God's got a secret place. And there are so many things in that, so many wonderful things that Jesus purchased for you and I that are in that secret place. But one of the things that he purchased that's in that secret place is his peace. He purchased his peace for you and I. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter, there it is, of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God's got a shelter. He's got a secret place for you and I. Psalm 119, verse 114. Psalm 119, verse 114. Psalm 119, verse 114. The secret place of God's peace is what we're talking about tonight. Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. I like that. He said, you're my hiding place and my shield, and I wait for your word in the Living Bible. Now go with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. God's got a place. God, there's stress in the world. There's worry in the world, but God doesn't want you and I stressed out. There's no problem that you have. There's no problem too big for God's ability to solve it. There's no problem you're facing that God wants you stressed out about. Anything you're dealing with, God wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be at rest. And you know, when you learn about the peace of God, things can be raging, trouble can be raging all around you. But if you'll find that secret place, you can have peace right in the midst of the storm. I said, God's peace is not just a cliche. His peace is a reality that we sometimes forfeit. But God doesn't want us forfeiting his peace. In Acts chapter 12, listen to this from the Living Bible. I know they're going to put the New Living up there, I believe. But listen to this from the Living Bible. This is the story of Peter when he was arrested and put in prison. If there was ever a reason somebody would have been in worry and fear and anxiety, it was when they arrested Peter over the Passover holiday and Herod intended to kill him like he had done James. Listen to the sound of it from the Living Bible. About that time, King Herod moved against some of the believers and killed the apostle James, John's brother. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he arrested Peter during the Passover celebration and imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of 16 soldiers. Herod's intention was to deliver Peter to the Jews for execution after the Passover. But earnest prayer, everybody say earnest prayer. But earnest prayer was going up to God from the church for his safety all the time he was in prison. The night before he was to be executed, he was asleep, double chained between two soldiers with others standing guard before the prison gate, when suddenly there was a light in the cell. An angel stood at Peter's side. The angel slapped him on the side to wake him up and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your shoes. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a dream or a vision. He didn't believe it was really happening. They passed the first and second cell blocks and came to the iron gate, to the street. And this opened to them of its own accord. So they passed through and walked along together for a block. And then the angel left him. And finally, Peter realized what had happened. It's really true, he said to himself. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me. Oh, God brought a mighty deliverance that day. You know, going back earlier this summer, two men broke out of a prison up there in upstate New York. It's been all over the news for months and months. And now they have special reports about how they broke out. It was called the Great Escape. How did these two men break out of that maximum security prison? How did they get through brick? How did they cut through metal? How did they get through stone? And then they got away. And there's a massive man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just was all over the news for a good part of the summer, about 2 months. And they finally caught the last guy just recently, a couple of weeks ago. But they were wondering, man, how did they do? How, there's never been an escape like this escape that Peter had this night. You talk about the great escape. Man, when an angel show up at your prison cell and knocks all the chains off of you and wakes you up and tells you to put on your hat and coat and get to stepping, I tell you, that's a great escape. And God has his angels at work. And whether you know, sometimes since we don't see angels with our natural eye, sometimes we don't remember the fact that angels are working in our behalf. Angels are doing the work of God in our behalf. But God's angels are working in your behalf. And there's been times you've walked through doors and angels walk right through that same door right with you. We want to concentrate on three things tonight in this time that we have left to share with you. Three things. If you're going to enter that secret place of God's peace, the secret place of God's peace, because you see, it's not automatic. I wish it was automatic. I wish we could just automatically get there. I wish when we were stressed out and worried about something, you could just snap your finger and just be there. What's that commercial, the State Farm commercial? They say that little jingle, then they wind up wherever they're going, you know. I wish the peace of God was like that. You could just say the jingle and you was right there in the peace of God. You're right there in the secret place. But it don't work like that. And Jesus died. He gave his life for you and I to walk in peace. He gave his life for us to sleep well at night. He gave his life for us to just be flooded by the peace of God. And it's really up to you and I whether or not we're going to receive what he paid for. And I don't know about you, my brother and sister, but I intend to walk in all what he paid for me. You want to be stressed out? You want to be worried, full of worry and fear? That's on you. But Jesus did something about it for you. And the question is, are we going to do something about it? Point number one, earnest prayer. If you're going to enter the secret place of God's peace, it's going to take earnest prayer. Notice Peter was in prison. Herod arrested and killed James, cut James' head off, then arrested Peter during the Passover, saw that it pleased the Jews, and was going to execute Peter too. Except the Bible gives us to know that on the very night before this man is about to be executed, he's sleeping like a baby. Now, Peter had to have some inside information. Peter had to know something about his redemptive realities. Peter had to know that Jesus provided peace for him. And Peter, you know, most folks, if it had been most Christians, the night before they're about to be executed, they would have been up complaining. Sending angry emails off. I never did like that Herod. That old no good Herod, I never did like it. Nah, God doesn't want us to give voice to frustration. He doesn't want us to give voice to fear. He doesn't want us to give voice to worry. He wants us to give voice to the reality of his word concerning our situation. I wish I had an amen in here. And some people spend all their time complaining. Spend all the time complaining, and then there's a train wreck, and people say, well, how come the train wrecked? You know, when an airplane goes down, they find the black box and they find out what was being said just before it went down. I wonder if we took, you know, all of us have been through different things, but if we took all our faith mistakes and got the black box, what was going on before the plane went down, it might explain a whole lot. How many would say, don't find that box, don't find the box. Let it stay, let a sleeping dog lie. Earnest prayer. Peter was in prison, but earnest prayer was being prayed for him. And I like that. The church, they were praying. And you say, what is earnest prayer? Earnest prayer is prayer with passion. It's prayer with sincerity of heart. Earnest prayer will generate tremendous power. It'll make tremendous power available. Back in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was praying. He was praying to God, but he was praying using earnest prayer. Generated tremendous power. Went all the way up to the throne of God. Angel showed up at his house. Said, Cornelius, God, your prayers, your alms, your giving, and your prayers will come up to Almighty God as a memorial. Generating earnest. If you could see the power you generate when you pray in faith, using the word, using the name of Jesus, if you could see the power that's generated through your prayers. Amen. Earnest prayer. If we're going to get to that secret place of God's peace. And there are times when we're praying about something in the spirit, we ought to pray till we get a breakthrough. And we ought to do this. We ought not pray as a last resort. We ought to pray as a first resort. And let me just say this, you know, you can't always have earnest prayer if you binge watching Gunsmoke and Bonanza. Just Google it. Anyway. James 5:16. The second part of that verse says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. And so we know that great power is generated. One version says the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And so it is so important that earnest prayer be made. You got something going on? Listen, pray. Give it over to God. Be sincere about it. And by earnest prayer, I don't mean how you sound. I'm not talking about the sound of your voice, and I'm not talking about how long you pray. But what I'm talking about is the sincerity in your heart. Sincerity in your heart. And let me just say this while we're on that. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6. Look at Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6. It's going to be a little different. I'm going to read it again, Living Bible again. But all of these scriptures just stood out to me more in the Living Bible as we were preparing. And so whatever version you're using is absolutely wonderful. No worries. Psalm 32, verse 1 through 6. Now, one of my favorite scriptures is verse 7 through 9. That's one of my favorite passages of all of scripture. But look what precedes that. Psalm 32, verse 1 through 6. Listen to it in the Living Bible. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable, filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day. Until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Now I say that each believer should confess his sins to God when he's aware of them, while there's time to be forgiven, and judgment won't touch him if he does. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying unconfessed sin will keep you from entering that secret place of God's peace. Somebody said, I don't have peace. Your problem may be you need to get alone before the Lord. And listen, say the same thing that God says about sin. But we can't harbor unconfessed sin and expect to walk in peace. Don't get no amen when I say that, but it's true anyway. If there's sin you know about, you got to confess that. You'll never make it to that secret place with unconfessed sin. You'll never have peace. You'll never get peace. Peace can't go in. Unconfessed sin can't go in there where that peace is. But I'll guarantee you this, if there's unconfessed sin and you get rid of it, I'll tell you what, you'll be able to enter that place. You'll find yourself in that realm where worry and fear can't touch you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I did a better job making that point than y'all gave me an amen, but I'll go on. We're short on time. Our second point. What was our first point? Earnest prayer. If you're going to get to that secret place of God's peace, it's going to take earnest prayer. Secondly, it's going to take standing on the word. You'll never get to that secret place, without standing on the word of God. You have to ask yourself, what does the word have to say about my problem? What does the word say about my situation? And let me say this, standing on the word also means obeying the word. And you know, we got to be where God told us to be, do what God told us to do. Part of standing on the word is obeying his word too. We can't stand on the word and then be disobeying him, right? But standing on the word is so important. Standing on the word. Look over in John 21, verse 18 through 23. John 21, verse 18 through 23. We're moving quick. You got to turn them pages faster. But it's important to see it. How many know there's power in the word? There's power in the word. When you read the word and mix that word with faith, it rises from the pages of scripture with power to accomplish what we send it to do. John 21, verse 18. Jesus talking to Peter about his future. When you were young, Jesus saying to Peter, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked, go wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go. And Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God. Wow. Jesus and Peter had already had a conversation about how he was going to die. And I imagine that Peter said, this ain't that time. Peter had to be saying here in Acts 12, I'm too young. That ain't what Jesus gave me a word. Jesus spoke the word to me. Jesus told me I would die as an old man. Jesus said, when I'm old, they're going to lead me to a place I don't want to go. What he had to be saying in that prison cell before he went to sleep is, I'm too young. This ain't what Jesus promised me. I'm too young to be going anywhere. He had a word. He had a rhema word. He had a word from Jesus that he'd be an old man when he died. But Herod's going to kill him the next day. Peter said, I might as well go on to sleep because I want to get some rest and see how God delivers me from this thing. Because this going to be good. I don't want to miss a thing. I'm going to get me some rest. I'm going to go and get me some rest tonight. 16 soldiers guarding the man. He's chained between two and there are 14 other soldiers guarding the man. And he's sleeping so hard, the Bible says the angel had to smote his side to wake him up. Now, if that had been me, I would have been awake already. The angel came into prayer. I would have said, that's you, Lord? Is that you? I slept with one eye open tonight. No, you can rest. You might as well go on a rest. You might as well rest about your problem. You shouldn't be letting worry keep you up at night. You said, Brother Bill, I got a financial problem. You better go on and rest. Turn that thing over to the Lord. Obey God and do what God's telling you to do and get yourself some rest. Let Jesus rock you to sleep. If Peter can sleep the night before he's going to be executed, that man went to sleep and slept like a baby. What about you and I? Jesus made him a promise. You know, Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he didn't break his promises then in Peter's day, he ain't breaking his promises today. Guess what? We can rely on his word. Stand on the word. God has given you a word. God has spoken a word. You have the mighty word of God. Stand on it. And when we say stand on the word, don't forget to confess the mighty word of God. Thirdly, tonight, we're going to get to the secret place. You're going to have to stand on the word. You're going to get to the secret place. It's going to take earnest prayer. It's going to get to the secret place of God's peace. Listen, thirdly, right thinking and right believing. Right thinking and right belief. Brother Hagin used to say that the greatest enemy to the church is our wrong thinking and wrong believing. That is an amazing statement. The greatest enemy, your greatest enemy is not the devil. He's an enemy, but he's a defeated enemy. He's a defeated foe. Our greatest enemy is our wrong thinking and wrong believing, letting the wrong thoughts in our mind. And that's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to obey Jesus Christ. And listen, if we didn't have the power to do that, he would not have commanded us to do that. He commanded us to bring thoughts into subjection. And that means we can't allow any old thought to be running rampant through our minds. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. The wrong thought in our minds will keep us from the peace of God. And there are people right here tonight. You haven't experienced peace. You've been saying peace, but you haven't experienced the reality, the manifestation of his peace. You got the wrong thoughts in your mind. And if you'll clear up your thinking, if you'll start thinking right, your believing will be right. And if you'll start believing right, look out. No more worry, no more fear. My brother Patrick, if you're back there, come on, brother. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming soon. Listen to verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. Come on, brother.
I let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts And when problems arise, like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. So I let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts. And when problems arise, like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. Yes, the peace of the Lord is upon me.
Let's do it one more time. Do it one more time.
I let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts. And when problems arise, like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah, His peace. God wants to minister His peace to you. Stand on your feet, my friend. We're at the conclusion of the service. Prayer team, come on forward. This is Wednesday night, Hour of Power. You have something that's been stressing you. Something's been worrying you. Every head bowed just for a moment. Something's been stressing you and you've not been letting that peace minister to you. Something's been hindering you. Something's been hindering you. Every head's bowed. Let me see your hand. Something's bothering you. Something's stressing you. Something's worrying you. Put your hand real high. I'm not going to have you come down here or anything. I just want to see who we're talking to. Just all over. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hand down. We just want you to let the Lord minister to you. Let His peace minister to you. Sometimes in the busyness of life, we forget we have a covenant of peace. God wants to minister to you. Isaiah 26:3, I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Matthew 6:25-33. Philippians 4:6-8. John 14:27. Peace is our covenant. Father, thank you tonight. You see honest hands, honest hearts. Minister to your people. Cause them to walk in the reality of your peace. And even though when some storms are raging, oh, in their heart, just perfect peace. And so we thank you, give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, you want somebody to agree with you tonight? Come on down here as we dismiss. One of these anointed men or women will pray with you. You know how we do by now. Women come to the women, guys come to the guys. You came in tonight. It was your first time with us, first time here. Let me see your hand. Wave at me. It was your first time. Yes, we're so glad that you came. Hope you enjoyed yourself. We know if you'll come back, hear our pastor, you'll enjoy yourself more than you did if you did tonight. We got a gift that we promise we want to give you. And what is it, congregation? What's the gift? 8-track tape, they said. It's 8-track tape. No. No, we got a really good gift for you. So our connection team members are going to come and just take you there real quick. They're not going to hold you at all. They're just going to give you the gift and bless you. So they're coming now. And someone coming to this, to my friend right here. Someone's coming. Just hold on 1 second. Our buddy's coming right here. So this gentleman as well. All right. So we'll just let you guys get out there and we'll give you a good gift. Let's thank them again for coming. Praise God. Remember, don't be forfeiting God's peace. Jesus paid too high a price for you and I to walk in peace. And I tell you, the world, we're just letting them leave. The world should first be drawn to our love as believers. I think they should be drawn to our integrity. They should be drawn to a peacefulness about our spirits, though, too. And since Jesus gave His life for you and I to have that, don't go another second forfeiting His peace. Walk in His peace and be blessed and receive all that He has for you. All right, well, we'll see you right here on Sunday morning. And come to School of the Bible if you can, 9 a.m. Find a School of the Bible class that fits your status. And come on to School of the Bible and then church right here, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and you'll be blessed. Okay, did I forget anything then? go buy your baseball tickets, because there was only a block of 200 that were purchased. And so if you're not going to watch the game, come and eat the food. And either way, you'll have some good fellowship. So go out there and get your baseball ticket. You'll be blessed. You are dismissed. God bless you.